Written on the board, two words, expected growth. There's a verse in the 14th chapter of John that says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance, whatsoever things I have said unto you." My prayer is this morning that the thoughts that are my own thoughts and originated from me, that the Lord would put a stop on my tongue, and that those things that were of the Holy Spirit, that He would bring those to my remembrance, and that the gospel would be preached this morning in a way that the Lord would be pleased with, that I would be an empty vessel that He would be willing to fill with His words, and that those that are in attendance this morning, that you too would be empty vessels willing to receive the word of the Lord. Over the last few Sundays, we have considered the great plan of salvation and what that is. We've talked about baptism, the testimony that is associated with baptism. We've also considered the priceless gift of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit means to each one of us and the need of it. Well, now that we're saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, that's the Lord's will. Are we done? Time to move our attention to something else? Have we fulfilled and completed the work that the Lord wanted to see in our lives? They were saved. Yes, they were baptized. And over here on this date, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. So they can move on to something else. Certainly and thankfully not. This is not a temporal process. This is not a checklist to be completed and move on to something else. It's not a rite of passage that we can look back on and, having completed, turn our attention to something else. But this is about developing and nurturing a relationship. This is a walk with God in heaven. This is about fulfilling a great commission that was given to whosoever will, that we would be willing to be part of a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a people that have been called out of darkness into this marvelous light. This is about doing the Lord's work. It's about bearing fruit, and it is about giving ourselves to growth spiritually, drawing nigh to the Lord that He might draw nigh to us, be able to bear fruit to the glory of God through our lives. This is not just religion only. This is not about following certain rules and accepted norms so that the people down there on Highway 40 will accept you into their doors and accept you as one of them. This goes way beyond that. This is about being a child of God. It's about being one with Jesus Christ. It's about allowing Him to work in our hearts and lives and helping us to be connected in Him to the point that we will be able to begin to bear fruit that is pleasing to God the Father. And then along the way, as others look at our lives, that they don't just see a person that is intent on just being accepted by the crowds and others, or finding a sense of security in their doctrines because they are living according to them, and finding a sense of security in their own works. But that we realize and recognize all through the course of our lives that our salvation comes from God only. And that we are willing to be set apart unto Him, to be used by Him in a way that He would be pleased with. And it's often different from what I would probably come up with on my own. God's ways are different than my ways. His thoughts are above my thoughts. He works in ways that I am not able to conceive and often perceive. Yet, He asks us to come and to follow. He asks us to allow Him to be able to work in and through our lives to make it into something that it's not today. He wants to see us grow and prosper and glorify Him. Following Christ is now our primary objective in life. It's why it needs to be more than a camp meeting experience only that ends after camp meeting. It's why it needs to be something that's more than an event that happened on a certain date, which is an Ebenezer stone that we don't want to devalue. But living for Jesus and being saved and having a testimony of salvation and being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's just the beginning. And it now becomes our life. And it's not static. It doesn't remain the same. It's not a straight line, but it's dynamic and it's changing. And it's why the Lord wants us to have a Damascus Road experience, not just an experience that comes from an emotional event that comes and goes like the entertainment of the world, that leaves us without. But the Lord wants to do something for us that's real and alive, and He wants to live in our hearts and our lives where there is a fire that's ever burning with a desire to hear the voice of the Lord and to follow each day. That our prayer would be, Lord, not my will but Thine be done. Lord, take me and use me as You see fit. Lord, help me to trust You with my life. Lord, help me to follow when I don't understand. Lord, help me to take up the crosses that You put before me when they look too big to carry. Lord, help me to be willing to pick them up in the power of God. Lord, help me to be willing to accept change when change looks impossible. Do you know there's going to be change in our lives as Christians? The Lord doesn't want us to stay the same. The Lord doesn't want this lost world to stay the same. He wants to see souls find Him. And He wants you to be an instrument of His work, a willing instrument that He can work through to reach the lives of a hurting world those that feel hopeless and undone, that they might find hope and life in Jesus Christ as He has lived through the conduct of your life. And as we allow the Lord to make change in our lives, and I get up tomorrow and it's a new day and I say, Lord, I am yours. Lord, fill me with your will and your way and your power and your spirit. And the Lord says, walk this way. And I look at it and I don't understand it. And it's not what I expected, that I would say, yes, Lord, speak, thy servant heareth. Lord, send me, I'll go. The Lord wants and is looking for such a people that is willing to be all in. A people that is willing to set their own way to the side and say, Lord, wheresoever you lead, I will go. Are you willing to do that today? The Lord wants us to grow in Him. He wants us to prosper in Him. Not long ago, we read where many of Jesus' disciples turned and walked away with Him no more because they said it was a hard saying. It was almost as if they hadn't even given the Lord a chance to help them walk the road that He had described. They said it was a hard saying. The Lord said, if you're going to come after me, you have to take on who I am. And they looked at that, and they looked at their own lives, and they looked at their own situation, and they saw the mountains that were bigger than what they felt equipped to climb. And they looked at their own strength, and they looked at what they might have to turn away from in this life. And they walked away from Him and walked with Him no more. Yes, change is difficult. Being different is not easy. Uncertainty in life isn't easy to accept. But with God, all things are possible. And I want to say, in the fear of the Lord this morning, that just as Jesus turned to His disciples and said, are you going to go away too? And they said, where will we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where would we go? If we are not willing to follow when it's hard, if we're not willing to trust God in those places that are bigger than we are, where will you turn to? Where will you go? What will you accept in your life that will bring you fulfillment and peace? And that in the end, we will be able to stand before God the judge and hear those words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. What will we take on if we are not willing to follow Jesus Christ? If we're not willing to accept hard, if we're not willing to embrace difficult, if we're not willing to turn away from the appeal of the world that draws on us so strongly. There is so much in the world around us, in the entertainment world, in the sports world, in the fashion world, in the music world, all of those things that appeal to the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, they pull strongly upon our lives and on our spirits. but they do not bring soul peace. Yes, they can bring temporary satisfaction. They can tickle our senses and please us for a period of time. But that too vanishes away, and we are right back where we were before, trying to get another fill. I'm not saying that all entertainment is wrong. I'm not saying that all things that the world has to offer, that all is sin. But I am saying this morning in the fear of the Lord that we be careful, that we place our treasure on things above, not on things of the earth. That we be willing to give ourselves completely to the will of the Father for our lives, even when it goes against what I may choose. Where shall we turn? Thou hast the words of eternal life. There's no better life to live than with Jesus Christ. There is no better way than the way of truth and holiness. Oh, you say holiness. Yes, holiness. We've talked about that together here. Holiness. Being dedicated, committed, set apart unto God. Where we say, Lord, yes, I'm completely in it for you. It doesn't mean that today I am perfected in every single area of my life, but yes, I have been perfectly equipped in Jesus Christ, that He will help me in those areas where I need help, and that I'm willing to be set apart completely and wholly unto Jesus Christ. And when we are willing to do that, there are untold blessings ahead for us in life and for others that are influenced by your life. We have a responsibility to other people. That is an inconvenient truth sometimes. We said, don't look at me. Live your life. Make your decisions. No. Whether we want it to be or not, we greatly influence the lives of other people. Those that are coming up, our children, young people, our neighbors, our co-workers, those that are watching our lives when we don't realize we're being watched so closely, we are influencing other people. And the Lord wants us to be willing to be filled with Him, that we can be the salt of the earth. Salt that has something to offer. Not something that's dead. Not something that is just labeled salt. Not something that's just labeled a Christian. But something that has something to offer that's needed. We have Jesus Christ in us. It is time today for us to be committed, to be dedicated, to accept holiness in our lives, to be set apart unto Jesus Christ. And if we will, the Lord has so much wonderful land for us to possess. The other evening we quoted the verse, "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Fear not. That is the message of the Father today. Don't be fearful. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of the call to follow. Don't be afraid of the call to holiness. Don't be afraid of the call to be set apart unto God. Don't be afraid of the call to separate yourselves from those things that are unlike Jesus Christ, but that you are drawn to. Fear not, little flock, because it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He wants to see you prosper. He wants to see you grow. He is glorified by you bearing much fruit. It's time for us to stand and be committed and to submit to the hand of the Lord, not to live life in a lukewarm state, not to be satisfied with static spirituality, not to be okay with just being accepted by those that are around us in our church family, not to be okay with being in the same place that I was last year, but that I have given myself to the Lord to follow, and that I'm not fearful of where He may lead, because His promise and His exhortation to us is to fear not. Don't be afraid. Come follow me. I'll help you through it. I'll get you over the mountains. I'll deliver you from the fire. I will help you through the waters that are deeper than what you can make it through on your own. I'll help you through the walls that seem impenetrable. I'll help you take the mountain with the giants on it. Trust me, follow me, fear not, because it is my good pleasure, Jesus says, to give you the kingdom. I have a question this morning. There's a verse in the 5th chapter of Galatians in the 22nd verse that speaks of the fruit of the Spirit. And it says this: but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no law against any of these things. You won't get in trouble by the spiritual police by having too much of this. Against such there is no law. There is no end to these things. Listen. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Have you arrived? Are you there? After you were filled with the Holy Spirit and He came into your life, had you arrived? No more work to do? At the end of where the Lord was calling you to? No. Not at the end. Land possessed? Yes, certainly. Victory that you haven't had before? Yes, victory. But arrived in all of these areas? Do you have all the love that you fit? Joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness? Are you as gentle as the Lord wants you to be? Meek? Temperance according to the word of the Lord? No. But don't despair. Don't be discouraged. Don't be disillusioned if you find that you have room to grow in these areas, because God has a plan for that. He said in the 15th chapter of John and the first verse, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. But listen, and every branch that beareth fruit, some fruit, a little fruit, beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Eighth verse says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Thank the Lord. After you get saved, and you have a testimony of salvation, and you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, the Lord wants to do something more for us than leaving us to go on to somebody else. He wants there to be a connection to the vine. I am the true vine. The Lord wants us to be connected to the vine, lest we become disconnected and dead with no fruit being born. The Lord wants us to be connected in a firm way, a strong way, and He knows that we need help to maintain a connection. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit to help us where we need help and to help us be firmly connected to who He is. Firmly connected. I don't want to be connected like a loose tooth. You can have a loose tooth that's still there. You say, it's connected. I could be like a loose tooth spiritually and say, I'm connected. I'm still saved. I'm still connected to the Lord. I'm still there. And yet we are allowing the very things of this world to push us away from the very thing that Jesus Christ wants us to be connected to. And yet we're satisfied with being like a loose tooth in its connection. The Lord wants it to be the other way around. He wants us to be connected to the vine in such a way that His power and His presence and our willingness to accept who He is in our life and accept His will in my life and in the areas where I need help, that it pushes out the things that are unlike Him in my life. I want to be firmly connected to the vine. And listen again to what He says that He has for us. He and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. The Lord is committed to helping you bring forth more fruit if we're willing. And that is the essence of the message that I've been inspired with to give you today from Jesus Christ, is that yes, we get saved and we're baptized and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, but may God put within us a burning desire to pursue growth, to realize growth through the power of Jesus Christ, to bear fruit and to be willing to be purged when necessary, that we may be able to bring forth more fruit, that we can increase through God our Father, the caretaker and husbandman of love and care in our life. We're not going to arrive spiritually on day one. We're not going to have all of the problems that are in our lives immediately taken care of and gone the day that we're filled with the Holy Spirit. That is why the Lord wants to fill us with His Holy Spirit, so that He can help us throughout the course of life to grow in Him and to become more like Him. I'm not preaching today to those that are looking for a way to delay and to defer and to put off doing the will of the Father. That is not where my message is today. That is not where the Scriptures give allowance and room, where we say, well, it's just a life of growth. It isn't going to happen all at once. And someday the Lord can help me with that and be satisfied with those areas in our life where we know is not like Jesus Christ. And we go on our own way and just figure, well, maybe some other time. That's not who I'm preaching to. That's not the message that the Lord is sending to those that He's going to increase fruit in their lives. His message is to those that when they recognize areas of need in their lives, that we look at that and we say, Lord God in heaven, would you help me in this area? Lord, I don't want to accept this in my life. It's not who I want to be. Lord, I'm following you. I'm not following the old man anymore. And the Lord comes along in our lives and He says, Rod, this room in the back hall, it has something in it that's not like me. And I want to be a Christian that says, oh, God, have mercy on me. Lord, would you forgive me for that? And Lord, help me get it out the front door. Lord, I'm willing. Let's move it out. And we look to the Lord and the power of His Holy Spirit to begin working in our lives to make us what He wants us to be, that we might bear more fruit. That is Scripture. Spiritual growth is Scripture. It's not a cop-out. It's Scripture. But it is also not an out for those who are looking for an out. If you want to live your own way in your own life and do your own thing, and just give a portion to God and keep a portion for yourself, you will be disappointed in your Christian life. You can become disillusioned because you will not find the victory that you hear taught and you read in the Word of the Lord. Because that is not where God's Spirit, and that is not where His power dwells. His power does not dwell in the one that keeps a portion back for themselves and gives a part. The power of the Lord is given to the one who lays it all on the altar. And when the Lord puts His finger on something in our lives that is unlike Him, that we say, yes, Lord, Thy will be done. And we go to work doing something about it. The Lord has a plan of growth for us. Before we close this morning, I'd like to just remind you of a few verses. You can listen and not turn. Maybe that way you'll be able to hear the word of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians 1, 2, and 3. It says, grace unto you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace is His message to you today. We are bound to thank God always for your brethren as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Thank the Lord. It grows. Your faith was there. You got a hold of the Lord. But now I've come back and I'm seeing that it is growing. It is increasing. You didn't get it all at one time, but as you give yourself to the Lord, it begins to grow. And then it said, the charity of every one of you towards their brethren also aboundeth. Your relationships with other people, as you yield yourself to the Lord, get better with time if you'll allow it. Growth in Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3 and 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It didn't say arrive in grace. It said grow in grace. I can't handle the fruit that the Lord would like for my life to bear eventually today. And He knows that. And He doesn't put more on me than what I am able. But He works with me as I allow Him to work in my life, that I can begin to grow and become stronger in this area over here, that I might be able to bear more fruit and have a life that can hold it. But grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, Romans 5 and 1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There's that peace again. peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope makes us not ashamed. That doesn't happen on day one. Tribulation can take time. Experience doesn't come without experience. It takes time. But the Lord has a plan to help us grow in Him. 1 Peter 2 and 1. It says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Wherefore, laying aside malice and guile, deceitfulness and hypocrisies and envies and evil speaking." See, these are not actors that we're happy with anymore as Christians. That's not those things. We don't open up our front door and say, "Come in, I have a room for you. Welcome." We don't say, "Well, that's just who I am. That's just the way it is. I don't like them. That's the way it is." The Lord has something more for us. And we are living a life now where when we are tempted by these things, we lay them aside and we say, "Lord God in heaven, this is not what I want to define me anymore. Would you purge me of these things? Lord, would you have mercy on me and help me walk it out the front door of my life?" And the Lord's willing to do that as we are willing for Him to have His way in our lives. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. The Lord doesn't give us meat on day one to eat. He gives us milk that we can grow, that we might be able to eat meat. And sometimes we are drinking milk in one area of our lives while we are eating meat in another area of our lives. As the Lord sees that we are able to take what He has for us, let's be patient with other people as they drink the milk of the Word and not expect meat when they can only handle milk. Because there are areas in our own lives where we too are only able to accept milk and not meat. Does all this happen with no effort? Do we just get saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, and then it all happens on its own? No, you have to want to grow. We have to be willing. We have to have a desire to grow. The Lord wants you to have a desire to grow in Him. And growth happens outside of our comfort zone. Growth happens outside of your comfort zone. If you're not growing spiritually, ask yourself if you have been willing to be led outside of your comfort zone. If you are running away from the pain of growth, be still and listen to the voice of the Spirit as He bids you come closer to where He is. He said, "If any man will come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." But that is not to be feared this morning. The enemy would like us to focus on the cross and the daily denial, and the Lord would like us to get a vision of what it is to grow and to bear forth more fruit and to be more like Jesus Christ. The results of taking up the cross, the results of being willing to give ourselves to Him each day. The Lord will help us in those things. He's made provision for us in all of these areas, but it requires a willingness on our part to make it a daily walk, to make it a daily prayer of "Not my will, but thine be done." And yes, it is doable. And yes, the Lord has a way to pick us up when we fail. It's not all over if we fail. The Lord made provision for that too. Let's be encouraged this morning. It is the Lord's business of working with us, of helping us, of nurturing us, of helping us when we fail, picking us up when we fall. May the Lord help us today that we would with courage gird up the loins of our hearts and our minds. That we would be willing to pursue and realize growth and fruit in our lives, saved, baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that we might be a vessel of honor unto Him and bear fruit to the glory of God. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.